feel like I'm getting deja vu. This is like a rock war number two. A rock war number two. I like the look of those oil supplies. I'd be ashamed if someone invaded you. If someone invaded you. And I ran so far away. From my red, from them night and day. But destroy USA. Drone appears above your head. A mower bomb comes falling down on you. Falling down on you. The fleet is moving nearer still. The Strait of Hormuz, it comes in view. The oil must flow through. And I ran so far away. The bomb I bomb them night and day, but destroy USA. Tiny hit, it's a big red button. Atomic bombs come falling down on you. A mushroom clouds in view. Send out a tweet to let you know. World War III, cause Israel told me to. All for Netanyahu. And I ran so far away. Bomb them night and day. Ooh, and I ran so far away. Ooh, bomb Iran. Oh, bomb them night and day. But destroy USA.
Not bad. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Happy not Friday, Sunday today, March 8th, 2026. Hope you're all doing well. We got some good stuff to cover that because obviously the world is in a great place right now. Things are going great, both for Zogmerica and the rest of the world. Things are heating up and things are, I don't know, not looking that great for Israel. I got to be, unless they have an ace up their sleeve, which maybe they do. We'll see what happens. But I do have to say, though, man, they are being hammered on everyone knows what they're doing. And as they try to fix that, I guess, and fight back against everyone who's calling them out on it, they just make it worse for themselves. And they're making an awful mess. The question is, are we in the final stages of Zionism? I think we're in the final phases of what they want it to be. And as they do that, it's crumbling. And in fact, there's even some academics, there's even politicians in Israel that are like kind of worried about this. Even for them, it's getting out of control. So we'll get into that here today.
Yes, but they will not admit it, right?
Of course not.
They're going to downplay it all day long, all the way until the end, because that's how they do it, right? And they'll just become more and more brazen.
The pivot has been, so they're doing all of this, then people are starting to call out not just Zionists in Israel now, but just Jews. And then they're like, look at the anti-Semitism that's rising up in all these countries. And then, like, because of their behavior, the empire that they occupy collapses, right? And then they say, see, That's the correlation. They turn anti-Semites and then it collapses. That's what it. That's what it. that's right. How this works. You know,
they didn't do anything along the way to get. Well, that,
they
made
all the credit. You know, the free money that was just handed out to everybody. You know, you would never have your mortgage and your SUV if it wasn't for the
porn,
Jewish casino
or women's rights or mass immigration. I mean, we're helping you. Okay,
of course we're
just
helping.
Like we're helping the people of Iran right now by bombing them and killing some kids by accident.
Murdering some kids, creating some acid rain and bombing oil depots. And it's just we're helping. That's what they do. So anyway, we got some stuff to get into here today, ladies and gentlemen. The story kind of continues, I guess, from Friday's show in a way, but how can it not, considering the fact that it's the biggest thing on planet Earth right now going off?
Yeah.
And it's a heck of a thing. Do you want to start with?
Yeah. So, if you're on X and you become a premium user, you're verifying you are you with an Israeli spy company. Yes.
We know.
So when joining X's premium service, some people don't know this, the process requires you to upload a picture. You even have a passport or a photo ID. I mean, for me, it doesn't matter. They already know all this. So what? Have fun with that, Jews, So now you're allowing AU-10TIX to scan your face, on your device's camera. And they claim that they're deleting the user's data within 72 hours of receiving it. No, we're totally deleting that, right? However, the fact is that the company was founded and staffed by veterans of the notorious Israeli spying group Unit 8200, a group that's been behind many of the most outrageous hacking, infiltration, cyber warfare scandals of the past, right? And Unit 8200 also created the Pegasus, notorious Pegasus software that was used to spy on more than 50,000 journalists and politicians, business leaders, you name it.
Thought criminals.
Exactly.
Assassination subjects, yes, we know.
AU-10TIX was founded in 2002 by Ron Atzman, of course, a Unit 8200 veteran whose father was treasurer of Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party. So Atzman is massively pro-Israel. He doesn't hide any of his political views. He's against, anti-Semitism. He's a hardcore Zionist.
Really?
But employees of this company who are checking, verifying you on X or XXX Israeli spooks. So, I mean, how did they get this job? How does Elon just let this, Israeli, spy company handle all of your material? So obviously they're being criticized because,
it's a mystery. It's really a mystery.
But
I think he said it was going to replace that. But of course, this is a new piece here from Interpress News. At least 6 months ago where this camp flared up the first time. It was a controversy, and at least there were rumors of no, Elon is doing away with that. It's fine. He's changing the company that's doing it. Nope. It's just
not that I've seen.
So they're they're getting hit on their real names in Israel. Big surprise, huh?
I mean, and for a lot of us who already have our name out there, it's like no big deal. It's like, okay, the U.S. government is basically Israeli government at this point. They have your address. They have all your stuff. They have access to everything. But, the little guys that they, don't know about yet, they're finding out and they're Googling and they're creating their lists.
It's also not always that they're after a specific, in some cases that is the case. They're after a specific individual, right? But in many cases, it's just the amassing of as much data as possible.
Yes.
They're building that would be that ace up their sleeve that I was talking about. That basically, I think they think they're going to we're going to have a digital prison in place before all this happens, right? Because, I was thinking about, what do you do against this? Like, the whole system is corrupt. Everything is rotten through the core. All the politicians are controlled. They're fucking kids. Like, it's as bad, it's rotten to the core as it can get, essentially, right? So, then you think, well, the people is going to do a violent overthrow and there's going to be a revolt against, all of these establishment pedophiles, kind of thing. And it's like, maybe at a time when you had muskets and swords or something, then you could. But now they have and it's not just that they have exotic weaponry and bizarre, weird, electronic, warfare methodology and potential artificial intelligence and robotics and drone warfare and stuff. Like, they have everything is a warfare. Like, yes, your food is being weaponized. The pharmacological industry is a weapon against you. Porn, as you said, is a weapon against you. The entertainment and the sports you watch is a weapon against you. Yeah. Then you can get into the actual weapons that they have that's actually weaponized against us. As I said, highly advanced technological shit. Well, we're, you know, we might sit here with, like, what, handguns and machine guns or something, while they have, like, the most sophisticated electromagnetic frequency weapons that they can just, like, and it's like, what I'm saying is that's not an equal playing field. I think that they might think, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here, but I wanted to drop it early. I think they think they'll have this system in place, mm-hmm, by the time, and when that system is in place, that's important then to have had gathered as much data on everyone as you can.
Yeah.
So you know who your enemies are, who you can target, and then just do a mass population. Like, the AI will function so much better the more, like, it knows everything, essentially, right? Yeah. So that's partially, I think, what this is about. So it's not just like, oh, this one anonymous guy was the most important thing that they were after. No, it's just like amass as much.
And they're also planning for the future. What happens if Israel is crushed? How do they reorganize? How do they gain world domination again, right? And AI systems will be important for that. Well, also, Pentagon is going to be using Grok in its classified system. So Anthropic refused. This is very strange. Pentagon's demand, yeah, hold on, that they make Claude available for all lawful purposes, insisting in particular on blocking its use for the mass surveillance of Americans and the development of fully autonomous weapons. XAI agreed to that all lawful use standard. So this basically is the claim that Trump is preventing the mass surveillance of Americans. That Grok system won't allow that. But mm-hmm, Anthropic said, no, we want mass surveillance of Americans. And then, yes, he said, okay, well, we are not going to deal with you anymore.
No, that's a big lie.
I mean, yeah, so, come on, they're never going to give up that
Amadeo
kind of control.
Or whatever his name is, the last name of the guy who runs Anthropic. I think he's half Jewish, which basically makes him Jewish. But anyway, he's the guy, the gay guy who could, like, he refused to shake hands with Sam Altman on stage on India. Were you here when I played that?
No,
maybe,
but
it was
seen
me
that,
and
yeah,
the dissident. Anyway, it was like this dumb gay Jew thing. Like, come on. Like, anyway, so there was some little Semitic squabble there on stage next to Modi. But anyway, no, apparently it was the CEO of Anthropic that was just difficult to deal with. That's what some of the insiders in the Pentagon had said, if those reports are correct. Mm. It had nothing to do with that it's being, oh, it's unreliable, or right.
Well,
it seems,
well, not
to have
that
been,
it's not unreliable. It's that they wanted mass surveillance of Americans, and Trump is like, no, we're not going to allow that. Like, I mean, all AI is mass surveillance of Americans.
To Amodeo's credit, I think this is a total reversal of the situation. I don't trust any of the companies. I'm not saying that. But it looks like at least Anthropic has been doing some of the most, I forget what they call that again, Red Phase or Red Studio or something, where they just, like, had this sessions with these AIs to try to, like, put them in the most weird situation to see, like, how it reacts, to see, like, does it get hostile? But, you know, they're at least trying on some level with, like, some guardrail shit, apparently. Again, I don't trust any of these AI companies, but I think it's, excuse me, I think it's rather, he wouldn't go along with certain things. And so the pushback against Anthropic was like, your product is dangerous. I saw some reports like that. It's deemed a security risk and we can't deal with Anthropic, you know, kind of trying to tank that company on favor of other ones, which is like, you know, Grok, I guess, or XAI in this case, or maybe OpenAI or something. I don't know if ChatGPT, Sam Altman stuff. You know, I'm not sure.
I know Gemini was competing for the slot, too. They came in. Google's Gemini. I was surprised they didn't go with them. But, yeah. So I guess they're friendly with Elon. Now.
Well, yeah.
So,
well, but they have
I know. I thought they had this big falling out and all this.
No. It's just... That's all a charade theater.
It's all theater.
So, yeah, so they have reached a deal now to use Grok in classified. But, of course, if you drill down into this, well, I guess you have, what was it again? Was this another piece? Oh, I'm not sure why that RKI piece isn't working. This is kind of interesting, though. Because, obviously, XAI, Grok, Musk's AI, is using Oracle as the back end, you know.
It is.
People think, what? It has nothing to do with anything. Oracle is just there, and it just, like, processes data in this contained environment, and it doesn't get involved. I don't buy that whatsoever, right? To me, it's always like, if all these companies connect on the back end, with, be it with Oracle or Amazon or Google's cloud systems, that's just the same glob, basically. It's just the same company. So there was a deal here, I guess, or like something that was Oracle Corporation quietly published this. Well, quietly, it was right in the height of the war starting, by the way, on the day, I believe, February 27th. It was like, let's drop that day now, before. Right, when no one is paying attention, kind of thing. A blog post announcing that the U.S. government had authorized it to run generative AI on federal government data. And this apparently includes even, like, you know, highly classified information and all this stuff. They can train models on it, whatever. And then, of course, Grok uses Oracle's cloud, you know, data center and processing and, you know, where they're doing all this as its main, you know, server. I think Elon is building his own, what was it called again? It's a massive data center somewhere. They're seeking to do some of their own, you know, cloud storage and AI data center processing and things like this. But for now, most of it goes back to Oracle. It's the connecting dot. Oracle is like the one, you know, spider in the center of the web that seems to have its little tentacles in every facet of surveillance, digital IDs, AI development, all these kinds of things, right? What was the this was the same Axios piece. Okay, gotcha. All right, okay. So anyway, so that's interesting. There's a lot to drill through that, but that basically means like your medical data, your, you know, your Medicaid, like you name it. Like,
I know, and
all the
I saw Elon was like, you can upload your blood tests now and then have, you know, Grok analyze it and all this stuff. And everyone's like, don't do that.
That's exactly what Larry Ellison was talking about when he was up and launching Stargate. Again, it's like Sam Altman, Oracle, and then they're working with Elon Musk. Right? It's all the same.
It's like, yeah, it would be great if it wasn't these, you know, Zio-maniacs running things at the center of it. It could be helpful to have things like that.
Yeah. Well, wait, back up. What are you saying?
Well, I'm saying just AI as a tool. Like, okay, yeah, go through my blood test. No, you know, that would be great in theory.
We think AI as an isolated entity and robot, but it's like it's always humans at the end of that. You know, controlling it, looking at it,
someone's
analyzing
always reading.
It, weaponizing it. You know?
Even Jonathan Greenblatt, somehow they have access, right, to people's AI searches so they can monitor those as well. Like, what conversations are you having?
They work with those companies. They have a department inside of Google and YouTube where they can, like, no, take that down. You know, we're trained law enforcement officers to enforce our Zog vision. You know,
exactly.
Anyway, so...
So then we also have, you know, a Zionist fanatic now.
I'm just saying, look, like, they're building this now. Okay. Like, the digital prison is going in the... Like, as we focus on the Iran war, which, rightly, we should do, and they're kind of... You could argue they're all kind of connected. It's like Palantir and Lavender Projects, and they're using AI and all this shit to, like, map and track and, you know, do war, basically, and genocide people. But still, this is going in on the back end. And this stuff, I think they want to have in place before people, before like the cup flows over frustration, essentially.
It's going to be ultimate control moving forward in the future.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, a Zionist fanatic now owns CBS and is about to own CNN. So after reaching an agreement with Trump, David Ellison, the Zionist son of the second richest man in the world, Larry Ellison, has acquired Paramount Global, the media giant that owns CBS. Now David Ellison via Paramount Skydance is in the process of acquiring Warner Brothers Discovery, which owns CNN. So it's not a direct purchase of CNN, but it's part of this big $100 billion merger deal where this Paramount Skydance won this bidding war against, get this, Netflix. Netflix was going to buy CNN. I mean, Netflix is essentially CNN, right?
Is it CNN that's under Warner Bros? Is that the...
Yeah. Yeah, or Discovery, there. Warner Bros. So, yeah, I don't know. They buy each other out so much, I can't keep track.
Have we gone from like six major companies owning the media to like three now or something?
It's
or like
getting smaller and
two
smaller.
Maybe?
And there's few mainstream media outlets that are surviving and that people are watching. But anyway, so he's promising unbiased news coverage and varied ideological perspectives. And so some say, and it's obvious, that he's shifting towards this semi-right-wing pro-Trump, but we know it's just really pro-Jewish, pro-Israel slop. Okay, even CNN lefties are admitting that. Barry Weiss, yes, with a long history of pro-Israel, anti-white advocacy, is now CNN's lesbian Zionist editor-in-chief, shaping its political direction, and she's still going to remain an important person, I heard. And earlier this year, it's like they already knew that they were pivoting, because earlier this year, CNN executives announced that they would shift their political outlook from pro-Democrat to more centrist. More centrist Democrat, explicitly instructing their employees not to criticize Trump. And this was also kind of, remember all the anti-woke stuff? It's like, let's take a centrist position now. Mm. Yeah, what are you thinking? I see your mind thinking.
I mean, first of all, I think they have done that, though. Not like forever. I mean, there's still some lunatics, like complete lunatics on there. Obviously.
Yeah, because MSNBC was like where most of the lunatics were, right?
You mean less so. You mean MS Now?
Yeah. Can't keep up with this crap.
The rebrand is awesome. I mean, I think they're smart enough to also see, like, you know, like if you go too far out on that limb, like it will break and you will lose, you know, kind of thing. But they're doing pretty poorly, I think, in terms of viewership, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and in January, was it Mark Thompson? Yeah, you're not really in control, Thompson. This was back in January, though. Exactly. No, I see the guy in the front. What about you? There's all these people in the back you people don't know and never see. Okay. True power you never see, right?
The Irish.
He held multiple meetings with editors. He instructed them to be fair-minded with Trump, not to prejudge. We all noticed that shift, too, right? Like, wow, they're not attacking him as much. And this was specifically for his second term in office, right? Yeah. Now, back to Ellison. His daddy, Larry, was co-founder of Oracle, which we talked about earlier, so started with the CIA, but more tied to the State of Israel, of course, because Ellison works tirelessly for Israel. So we're going to continue to see more of that.
Well, the thing there, though, is too, and it's fine. Like, Mint Press News does a good job, you know, kind of thing. But it's this outlet with that sphere of people, Alan MacLeod, Whitney Webb. Yeah. There was another one I came across the other day, and there was a good, you know, it's decent work
they
overall.
Dance around the J word.
The Dre dossier. Someone sent a link, you know, and it was interesting. It was about this, you know, the data basically that like Oracle will be able to handle, partially because of the government contracts, but also now that it's doing then the Grok processing, if that's the right term for it, like handling all what Grok is doing, that the Oracle's providing the infrastructure for that. And of course, which means that it can share on the back end of what all these other massive companies are using Oracle's cloud servers for, right? Do you see what I'm saying? So they have an extra key into all these systems everywhere. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Oracle, listen to the name, right? What is that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But anyway, so they love to steal the Greek mythology, by the way. That's what I'm just saying. But anyway.
They love the pre-Christian pagan stuff.
Yes, they sure do. they love to steal it and misrepresent it and
exactly.
Say, here, this is what it really is, right? So when anyone search for, what was the Oracle, right? That's this, anyway, and the Matrix, the stuff with the Oracle, anyway. All right, so Israel,
it's a black
biggest
woman, right?
U.S., what's that?
It's a black woman, right?
Yeah, the
black mama
cookies.
In the Matrix.
Israel's biggest U.S. donor now owns CBS. So it's true that Larry Ellison donated. I think as a person, he's the biggest donor. Do me a favor while I'm yapping this off. Search for what's the annual budget of the IDF or something like that. Because he donated $20 or $30 million.
I will use Grok.
don't. Well, it doesn't matter what you use, right? You'll never get a straight answer anyway. But I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that a big deal? Yes. As an individual, he donated a lot of money to the Friends of Israel. So he's a rabid Zionist.
For 2026, Israel's cabinet approved a defense budget of 112 billion Israeli shekels, $34 to $35 billion.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he donated 1% of that then, or something, right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's over multiple years, by the way, too. So I'm just saying.
All his buddies donated most of the rest. So,
This is not some. Larry Ellison is his. Their framing sometimes is Larry Ellison is his subversive billionaire who has his own interest, and he's the one who funds.
Like he's
Israel's,
not working with any other billionaires
like he's not
or
a
Jews
Jew and
or,
doesn't
yeah.
have Jewish interest, or he's doing it on behalf of Israel because
it's a
he's
Jewish
a Zionist
club.
Jewish.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a
Jewish
club.
And some of these people just won't say that. They just won't call that out.
When it's right
and it's
in
always
your face.
Some. Oh, watch out, because here's this big billionaire donor who's, like, meddling in, you know, the poor Israel's... I mean, they don't frame it that way, but it's almost that. Like, you're giving them too much leeway here. But anyway, so I just want to get, I just want to vent that because I've seen that so much. That's been the case for many, many years, by the way, but still.
Yeah, and I saw, by the way, this takeover is not considered this a monopoly under antitrust laws, as it doesn't harm consumers and workers in defined markets. So, it, you know, antitrust laws don't prevent billionaires from accumulating all the influence that they want, even if it's a, like I said, it's a Jewish billionaire club and they act in unison. It doesn't, we don't, they don't need one Jewish guy to buy everything when they've got multiple Jews that also own shares and interests and voting power, right? And it's, it's not illegal for one family, like the Ellisons, to own or control a large amount of media, tech assets under current U.S. law. It should be, but there's no strict cap on overall size or wealth concentration across any of the industries, which there needs to be because shit happens.
For a while there, antitrust laws was actually a thing. That just completely gone out the window. No one even pretends to care
getting,
anymore.
When they started getting all the power.
Of course, exactly.
Right?
That was to prevent the Goyim from buying too many things. And competing, you know, anyway.
And everyone's like, oh, the Murdoch family. Okay, so Fox News, they still, I was looking at numbers today, they still dominate Normie News or Zio News. Okay, Fox News still gets a lot of views. With the Murdoch family controlling, I looked, like 38%. Okay, and of course, they're very Zionist. They've been open about that. So who owns the rest of the shares, the voting power over at Fox? Vanguard Group, BlackRock, State Street Corporation, Goldman Sachs, and then some, you know, independent partners. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of Jews there. So it's basically Jews owning the rest of the 60%. And get this. I was looking at viewership and it's so pathetic. No wonder why they're like so busy censoring, too. Fox gets only 2.6 million average viewers, and they're the most popular of mainstream right now. Mm-hmm. MS Now, as you said, gets 1.1. CNN gets 800,000. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. What, is that like, I'm not sure.
Average viewers, just return, like, yeah, return
being
viewers.
There throughout the day kind of thing?
Or yeah, like, just people what? That just keep coming back, I guess. I don't know
how they measure
this. But
yeah. Well, regardless, in a country of 360 million, and even internationally, maybe, are they lying about the population numbers?
So this proves, I mean, people
I go
aren't
to the,
watching
some of the most
mainstream
popular YouTube videos
media
and
as
like,
much.
Is that all the views on that? Like, isn't there 8 billion people on? Anyway. Right.
Yeah, but people just aren't watching mainstream as much. But I just think that this is interesting, this shift, right? We talked about it before. We've also seen Mark Zuckerberg.
I'm sorry. Most people aren't political. We tend to forget that still.
Yeah.
I mean, I think politics has become more of a thing probably the last, with social media and more people are immersed, continuously bathed in this. My feed
shows I didn't care about it until doing this.
But most people don't, so I understand that it's already slightly a smaller fringe thing, right?
Yeah.
But I just want to add something to what you said, because it was a good point. But, you talk about the Jewish Billionaire Club and they act in unison. They discount that by saying, no, see, because here's this Jewish guy who is a Democrat.
Yes.
And
yes.
Here's this Jew who's a Republican.
Yes, yes.
So there is no unison.
But the CNN Jewish Democrats are still Zionists. So
but it's still true that they bicker among each other and stuff like that, too, right? But that's would be like saying,
they go to the same temples.
As the termites eat your house, that there was an internal dispute among a few of the termites of who was going to be leading the termites.
And these termites, they all get drunk at Purim together anyway. So it's like...
Yes, they do, and they smoke.
It's just, we're seeing the shift, right? And we've been seeing it, but we're seeing more of it. So it's like Zuckerberg, Facebook, they claim to prioritize free speech and leaning into Trump. And of course, there's X and TikTok. It's an open Jewish takeover in behalf of Israel. And now it's, you know, to push the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yo, definitely. So speaking of the Trump family then, and Trump being a Zogbot, his family has a record here, about a 50-year history of donating to Jewish and Israeli causes. Fred Trump donated the land for the Talmud Torah of the Beach Haven Jewish Center. They highlight there in one press article. This is back, I think, during the first, 2016, the first administration, essentially. But there's some clips here regarding this, too, where Chabad rabbi Isaac Zalman Weisberg talking about basically Trump's role in this here. Now, of course, it's one rabbi, but many of them, they do talk about, they have kind of share views on this issue. And they might differ a little bit, but this is still a sign a little inclination of the type of discussions that they're having about, you know, leaders such as Trump and how they view what their role is. Listen to this.
The current non-Jewish Messiah was chosen to be of service to the Jewish people and the Jewish Messiah. President Trump's right ear was grazed in a symbolic gesture of Exodus 21:6, where the Torah states that a servant who wants to remain with his master needs to have his right ear pierced. Trump was designated as God's servant and anointed one, just like Cyrus the Great almost 2,400 years ago. We have clarified in several videos that the absolute deadline for the redemption is by the end of the Jewish year 5,787, which corresponds to October 2nd, 2027.
That's your date right there. Remember that then, I guess. Shit's going to go down before what would have it, a year and a half.
Which month was that of the 2nd, 2027?
October.
October 2nd.
Right? I think it's yeah, October. Was it October? Let me go back 1 second here so you can... Yeah, October.
787, which corresponds to October 2nd, 2027. 1,167 days from today.
And of course, that's a while ago, this clip now, but still.
Thus, the redemption will surely occur during Donald Trump's tenure. And I have good reason to believe Donald Trump was chosen to be the one to redeem the sins of Esav through offering his assistance
in
rebuilding the Holy Temple on the Temple Mount and establishing the Jewish kingdom over all of mankind in Jerusalem. Perhaps it is no accident.
Every goy will be a slave and every Jew will be a king. That's what some of them have said.
That the numeric value of Donald Trump in Hebrew is the same as Messiah, son of David, Mashiach ben David, 424.
Here's their Kabbalah gematria.
However, Donald Trump is mistaken if he thinks he was chosen to make America great again. He will no doubt do a lot of good things to strengthen our economy, protect our borders. And
yeah, right. That didn't happen, dude. He doesn't give a shit about any of that. He's just like, Israel.
But America will never become a great country on its own because Esav's days are numbered. All our elite institutions and centers of power and influence are rotten through and through.
Because of you guys.
The majority of Americans under 30 who are college educated and who are the future leaders of America support the vicious monsters of Hamas rather than the holy and courageous.
Oh, so they're corrupt because they don't believe in Israel.
Yes,
enough.
Yes. Okay, so gotcha. They actually love Muslims and that's what makes them corrupt. And so therefore they must die.
Yeah. I mean, it's heads we lose, tail they win, obviously. Yeah. But still, for these reasons, fuck you, man.
Because of the IDF. No human being, even Donald
brave,
Trump,
so, what is the brave soldiers?
College educated and who are the future leaders of America, support the vicious monsters of Hamas rather than the holy and courageous soldiers of the IDF.
Ah, the holy soldiers. There you go. Okay. Thank you.
No human being, even Donald Trump, can reverse this. No. The greatness of America does not lie in its own success. America will be great when the Messiah comes. And the leader of this country, on behalf of all the good people in this country, will humbly present himself to the Jewish Messiah
and bow down.
And ask him to accept the United States of America into a new alliance of countries who accept the leadership of the Messiah.
Can you imagine that? Like they get their guy and then like your European countries have to send like emissaries to Jerusalem to like negotiate trade tariffs.
This is hell.
With their Messiah.
The whole world is supposed to bow to this Jewish guy. Like, yeah, it's not going to happen, dude.
A new United Nations will replace the current cesspool that goes by that fraudulent name.
That was one of them.
A real United Nations, united to serve God, led by the Messiah and based in Jerusalem. And my feeling is that the United States, under President Trump, will be the first nation to join.
Okay, so there you have it. That's just so... He's not alone, by the way, to talk like this. It's a very similar kind of
it's
vein.
It's a religious
and, you know,
war.
It's like, yeah, of course, it's always... As we talk, yeah, we talk about
is
Friday, this is a religious war.
And the armies are
ethnic, if that makes sense. It's a holy race war, right. to these Jews. I have some clips later of them talking. Like, no, it tells us we need to exterminate these and these. That's what it says. You know what I mean? That's what the book says. This is noble. This is what we do. So we see this and we're horrified at like bombing schools and like burning oil fields to get acidic rain and like environmental degradation
care.
And just like ruining the earth with all the bombs and the shit. And they're just like, no, this is fine.
Yeah.
This is what we do. All right. Speaking about Trump here, going back to this was kind of funny, right? Winning, apparently, not just winning the 6G race, but winning overall. This is what it's boiled down to. We have three, I guess, kind of press releases from the White House website to show, but we can begin with this one. Someone made a little clip out of it, too. winning the 6G race, right?
Welcome to the golden age, Henrik.
The golden age. The golden age. When the golden dome will explode and we can build a third temple.
The end of the Jewish golden age.
Implantable tech. And I'm less worried, frankly, even about like a microchip in my arm.
Yeah.
Like that's,
yeah.
I think.
It seems old school. That is old school.
Zuckerberg just put his wearable faces Meta watch on you now. And that is your implantable, you know, microchip essentially. But anyway, back to the clipper. Trump commented on this here. Oh, we don't have. Funny how that keeps happening. Let me reboot that then. Fascinating. All right, just give me a second here.
Remember when they said 5G was going to be faster?
5G? What did you say? The 5G system.
They're talking about 6G, right?
6G? Like
yeah, exactly.
It goes up in the... I mean, I don't think 6G just stands for generation, obviously, but it's... It might be matched in the gigahertz. Is it 6? Or maybe it's more, maybe it's 12 gigahertz now or something. I don't know.
So we're into 6G now. I just finished 5G. I was a leader on 5G getting that done. And now they're up to 6.
Let's do it again.
What does that do? Give you a little bit deeper view into somebody's skin? See how perfect it is? So we're into 6G.
Interesting comment there, though, huh? Because they actually these technologies you can actually use as like... radar, essentially, like LiDAR type of technologies. You can scan and see things, and the higher the frequency they go, they operate as, not as X-rays, but as like you can map and track and, you know, see through items and all these things they can do with like router technology and a LiDAR, essentially what it's called. But anyway, so winning the 6G race, and of course, who can forget promoting the national defense by ensuring an adequate supply of glyphosate, right? Remember this one?
Now they're saying, no, we can't ban it because, you know, farming depends on it so heavily. So if we ban it, then the whole food supply would collapse. I'm like, well, what kind of food is that? Maybe that kind of food supply needs to collapse.
Maybe.
You know, we could live without glyphosate-ridden bread and grain.
Put the kind of chemicals in your food supply that's causing your population not to be able to continue to breed.
Yeah, and cancer. Cancers. Everyone who lives around these giant fields with the glyphosate-ridden, you know, herbicides is getting sick.
And then, of course...
And then it's trace amounts. Trace amounts is fine. Trace amounts, yeah, but it's on here. It's contaminated here. It builds up here. And, you know, it ruins your gut, which is, like, the most important thing. As people know, in the natural health world, they're talking about that is your second brain.
Yeah, they want you dumb and literally out of touch, not have any instincts anymore, right? Your gut instinct. Yeah. That's a saying, obviously, but there's truth to it, right? Like, if your body is whole, you're more attuned to things. You can literally, like, your instinct, your animal, the connection to everything is better, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the more you ruin that, the more of a helpless,
hormone
sickly,
problems,
you know,
immune problems, cognitive dependent. Problems. You know, the gut is very important.
Yeah, the more dependent you will become. And of course, in the latest lineup here, of course, the epic Operation Epic Epstein Fury, America's unstoppable moment.
It's so idiocracy, you know? It really is.
Yeah, it's fascinating how some of these people have been like, just because you kind of wheel out some, you know, bald-headed eagles and, you know, some machine guns, and all of a sudden that the Zog awareness switch is flipped, and then it's like... Fuck yeah, that's right. You know, we can do all of these things. It's like, did you forget who's running on whose behalf? You know, kind of thing. But anyway, we can look at a clip here of Trump. This was kind of funny. Did you see the Epstein one, by the way, the sacrificial bald eagle? Speaking of which, that's kind of funny, actually. Swinging the bald-headed eagle above his head. The sacrificial bald-headed eagle. But anyway, back to Trump here.
We saw one randomly just sitting in a tree in our backyard the other day.
Yeah, and I try to shoot him. No. Here's.
I leaned back in the chair and I was like, "Look, a bald-headed eagle. It's kind of cool."
We love our eagles.
Yeah, we do.
If it would have been a Roman eagle or like a National Socialist eagle, let's be honest, did that? Is that what
much
it became?
Cooler.
It became no. Yeah. It became a gay eagle. Anyway, he's mimicking now these talking points of like, you know. what was it after October 7th? Hamas puts babies in ovens. It's to that effect. He's on Air Force One here, Trump, with Steve Witkoff, who also, of course, oversaw the Gaza peace plan and I believe was involved in the Board of Peace, which lasted, I think, less than a month.
Maybe a little bit more than a month.
And that was it, you know. But again, I mean, this is true, though. They do believe that. Like, if you genocide all your enemies,
then
there will
be peace,
right? That's what the Jews believe. And so that's their mitzvah, you know. And I mean, as a technicality, they're not wrong. But of course,
the whole world is their enemy.
They have to burn the whole world.
But then if it was just Jews, they would kill each other too because they can't get along. Why they have to go to our country?
All right. Yeah, it's true. Okay, here we go.
It's scorched earth.
What's that?
It's scorched earth for them either way.
You see that with Iran right now too, that even if there was some aspiration of like a greater Israel or something, like no, they'll Samson option the shit out of everything and everybody. Yeah. This is our land, you know, like Yahweh promised it to us, you know.
Kind of yes.
Thing. Anyway, here's Trump.
Desalination plant in Iran, and they said that might open the door to other strikes on infrastructure, non-military.
Yeah, it was a discussion about desalination plants, of course, because a lot of the Arab Gulf states, they rely on that, right, in order to have water.
To also open the door to other strikes against them.
Look, can you respond to that allegation? Did the U.S. have the desalination?
They are among the most evil people ever on Earth. They cut babies' heads off. They chop women in half. What they did, take a look at October 7th. Take a look at what they've done over the last 47 years. So I know nothing about a desalinization plant other than to say if they're complaining about a desalinization plant, we complain about the fact that they shouldn't be chopping babies' heads off, okay?
Is that, okay, maybe the poster to that conflated that between Iran and Palestine, because that comment would make more sense than if he was talking about Palestine, because that was some of the rumors initially that was spread. Anyway, the framing of the clip was, no, he's talking about Iran there, you know, kind of thing. Anyway, maybe I missed that point, but whatever, you know, we'll get to it. But anyway.
Speaking about like AIPAC and donors and stuff, and we talked about Mint Press earlier, he did this post, your porn addiction is probably funding the Israeli lobby because the OnlyFans owner is AIPAC's biggest donor. Now, of course, Henrik, you argue, well, America is the biggest donor here. Okay. It's just like a drop in the bucket, whatever this guy puts in. There's all his other Jewish buddies. And
is it true that AIPAC gets the money that they get from Israel, who received it from the U.S.? Because, you know, what's the flow chart on the money? But regardless, as soon as you have private donors, yes, then you're talking about a guy like
Leonid Ravinsky, right? Yeah. Exactly. And he's. Yep. You know, yeah, Soviet-born guy. He owns, what, OnlyFans, My Free Cams, AIPAC's largest donor. This was in 2023.
He's like a Jewish Andrew Tate, then.
$11 million he gives them. We know this is like a drop in the bucket for AIPAC.
Yeah.
But it's like all these individual Jews.
He's a cheapskate,
in fact. They give so much.
He's a greedy, cheap Jew.
But let's not forget, okay, he supports Israel, Zionist. Mm-hmm. Jews played a key role in mainstreaming porn. I wrote something on this. I need to actually record the video.
You should.
Yet Israel maintains these strict laws against it. Right? Right? Okay. Kind of hypocritical, right?
Okay. So I did it. I wanted the truth on that, and I dove deep into it. There was an initial proposal that was suggested to ban it altogether.
They're blocking websites.
That's what people picked up on, and apparently that did not end up being passed. However, they did kind of a circumcision of that law. No, they went around it in the sense that they put, I think, a default block on the ISP level
They can't access it.
Yeah, it was still something that they did do, and that is in effect. But then it was like, well, but that's voluntary, so we didn't actually pass a law.
People say, well, that's a left, you know, the Christian Zionist, well, that's a left-wing Jew or whatever. And it's like, no, he's supporting Israel. He's like a right-wing bro in Israel.
There isn't. It's just Chabad.
And let's not forget, there's a Rabbi Solomon Friedman who oversees Pornhub.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's a good source to show. I remember I used this when I was doing some research, but Nathan Abrams, he's arguing that he's like owning it. Yeah, of course, Jews, we mainstreamed the porn industry and, you know, you did all this and brought smut, you know, to the public and all this and broke the taboos. He argues that, you know, Jews shouldn't be ashamed of their role to mainstream it because, you know, it's a profitable business. They made money, and it's a form of pop culture, and it's an outlet for rebellion. You know, they'll just make money on anything. Doesn't matter. If it's legal. Look at how profitable it is. It doesn't matter.
It's fine. As long as it's legal, that means moral, I guess, to these people.
The point is, all these, you know, liberal Jews, they're still throwing down money. They're very pro-Israel, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so we got some...
there's some reports coming out of, Iranian ballistic missiles that are triggering Israeli sirens. We can go through like several pictures of this. And of course, I want to get the footage, but it's so convoluted out there, right? You don't know what's what. And then Israel's holding back. I feel they're denying casualties and attacks. They're downplaying this because it's, demoralizing for them. And they have to, show the world that they're defeating Iran and we're winning. But I don't think that that's the case. They are getting bombed, right?
Is it as extensive? I don't know. I've seen some footage.
I know people are hoping it is. They want to see a live stream of Israel right now. I want to see the missiles right now. But, there's no such thing being published, so unfortunately we can't.
I mean, there's plenty of clips out there and stuff, but it's hard to verify, and that's just kind of what it is, right?
And then like, is this real? I don't know. And then people are like, well, you can't trust the Russians. Russian intelligence leaked Israel's real casualties. The numbers are shocking. 6 Israeli generals, 32 Mossad agents, 78 Shin Bet operatives, 198 Air Force, 462 soldiers, 423 reserves. Dead,
Can't he just add a link to this? That's what I was looking for.
Why do you do this? Jamie McIntyre, Australian National Review.
Don't even add it.
Oh, that's not. This is like the stuff that's going around. So you can't actually get a clear picture. No, and Israel's not going to release, even if it's real. Israel's not going to admit that they're getting crushed in any shape, way, or form.
Yeah.
Right. But Netanyahu, he did threaten Iran. We could play that clip right now. Basically, surrender or die. Sounds like they want to like just drop a nuke at this point.
Yeah, I think they want to wrap it up because this is number one. It's not going the way that they planned. Number two, there's a problem with messaging. We've covered this Friday, right? Of like they're saying things which they thought sounded good at the time. And then they realized that just basically sounded like the truth, which was Israel just did this and led them along the nose, and he's like, oh, whatever you want, master, we'll go along then. And then shit, gas prices are up. Everything's, stock market crash. Here's some numbers right now from this is like 2 days ago now, almost, I think, almost $8 a gallon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. I'm not sure what part of California, but
it's like Scandinavia now.
Well, exactly.
Except at least rent's cheaper in Scandinavia.
It probably is now, I think.
Yeah, rent is definitely cheaper
in Scandinavia. US has gone really...
It's insane.
And when people from Europe are visiting, they're surprised how expensive it is in America.
It wasn't that way when you first moved here.
No, it was like, it's cheaper. Some things was a little bit more expensive, but most things were,
Like if you break your arm, you go bankrupt, but,
At least they'll fix your arm. Well, maybe. It depends on who you... Please, Dr. Steinbergowitz, can you fill my...
Nope, I will not do it.
Don't circumcise me.
So I haven't actually played this clip yet. I just saw it going around.
Okay, let's play this. Anyway, the point is, I think they want to like just let's just finish it now.
Nuke them.
And it's like, you don't do that with Iran. Like it's way more complicated than that. But anyway, let's listen.
וביחס למה שנעשה בהמשך באיראן.
I don't want to be cursed.
יש לנו תוכנית סדורה עם הרבה הפתעות. לערער את המשטר, לאפשר שינוי. יש לנו עוד הרבה מטרות, ולא אפרט אותן כאן. אבל לפעילי משמרות המהפכה, אלה שרודים בעם האיראני ברחובות, אומר לכם רק זאת. גם אתם על הכוונת. מי שיניח את נשקו, לא יעונה לו כל רע. מי שלא יעשה זאת, דמו בראשו. ולעם האיראני אני אומר, אני מדבר איתכם ועבורכם.
He doesn't give a shit about Iranian people.
רגע האמת מתקרב, כי איננו מבקשים לחלק את איראן. אנחנו מבקשים לשחרר את איראן, לשחרר אותה מעול העריצות ולחיות.
So this is, I mean, we know this, but this is that same, like people on the left started turning against Jews because of Israel and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, what do you, we gave you civil rights. Like, we're the good guys. And it's like, as we ruin you, we're helping you.
Yes, that's right.
And it was a great headline. I'll see if I can find what we played the rest of it. But it's like, as Jews discovered that like civil rights or something to that effect, basically made it harder for whites, or it undermined whites. Jews became more supportive of it.
Yes.
You know, I forget what the headline was, but let's play the rest of it.
Bishalom. אבל בסופו של יום, השחרור מעול העריצות, השחרור הזה יהיה תלוי בכם, בני העם האיראני, האמיץ ולמוד הסבל. אני מאמין שאם תתייצבו ברגע האמת, לא יחק היום שבו ישראל ואיראן תחזורנה להיות ידידות אמיצות.
Yeah, we'll be close friends. Exactly, it's this promise of, no, no, we just want to help you, we want to make, bring peace or whatever. And
look at
and
that
of course,
demon look right
yeah,
there.
And then, of course, they genocide you. And even if they did
they
get in and come in there, and then it's Reza Pahlavi comes in there and everything's, you know, great or whatever, which is not, but then the takeover begins, mm-hmm. right? The subversive aspect of making sure that, you know, they can't do what they want now or operate how they want. And again, you're talking to an establishment that have been like doing meddling in Iran's affair for 5 decades at least. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yep. And also
first with the Mossadegh, and then so they put the Shah in. And granted, I mean, the Shah was kind of a puppet too, right? And then they had an Islamic Revolution takeover, but the Shah was better at the time. Even have a clip. Listen to this here. Old Reza is younger. Old Reza is better than the younger Reza, because we saw Reza Pahlavi, the new guy.
That's what I'm just saying. His son is taking over. So what's right. going to happen there?
Well, I mean, it's funny. He announced his, I accept the transition leader role as Iran or something, and no, everyone's like, "Who the fuck is this?" It's like no one on any side is like. But anyway, he's a Zionist puppet. Do they want him? Yes, I think they do, genuinely. But anyway, listen to his father here, much better speaking to, I think, another Jewish guy on CBS.
How could the son be so different?
60 Minutes. I mean, well, I mean. Some people said that it's funny with a comment like this. I don't know what to believe, but some people said, "Oh no, the you know, Papa Reza here in this case, the king at the time, he was an American Israeli puppet, and he was totally in their you know pocket or whatever." But then he said things like this. Let me play it.
Israel. Surely, Your Majesty, you're not telling me that the Jewish lobby in the United States pulls the strings of the presidency.
Not entirely, but I think even a little too much, even for Israel interests.
You think the Jewish lobby in the United States is too powerful for the interests of Israel?
I think so. Sometimes they are disturbing the interests of Israel.
Explain.
Because they're pushing around too many people.
How do you mean pushing around?
Well, pressuring. They have many means at their disposal. They are putting up pressure on many, many people. And at the end, I don't think that it will even help Israel.
Why, if this is true, why would the President of the United States pay attention to that lobby?
They are strong.
Strong in what sense?
They are controlling many things.
Controlling what?
Newspapers. Medias.
Your Majesty.
Banks. Finances, and I'm going to stop there.
Well, now,
and I think isn't the interviewer? He's Jewish too, right? Isn't he that guy?
Not sure.
What's his? Do you know his name again?
Not
do you
sure.
remember his name? Chat. Do you have his name? What is his name? I think he's Jewish, right? But I mean, so in the beginning, he's kind of downplaying. It's not that. I don't say they have all control, but then he's like, yeah, newspapers and finances and government and they basically like, control. Yeah. And I'm saying. Papa Reza was far better, obviously, even if maybe he didn't mean it. Maybe he said these things to appear like he's this great anti-Semite to get the support of the Iranians or something. I don't know. But the point is, at least he said those things. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? But despite that.
Well, the new guy.
Yeah, Mike Wallace is his name.
Yeah,
he's
Mike
Jewish.
Wallace.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well,
yep.
The new supreme leader of Iran, Mojtaba Khamenei, the son, I mean, he's extremely hostile towards Israel.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you better
be. I wonder why.
So how long is he going to last in there? I'm sure it's going to be a
but it's
temporary.
Funny,
it's
though,
a little,
they,
little interlude here.
It's well, funny. It's not funny at all, but I'm saying as they kill like a almost 90-year-old man, right, the former mm-hmm. Khamenei,
yeah.
They kind of like reinvigorate. They just made the resistance in
fire.
Iran
they
more
lit that
youthful,
fire again.
Right,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's right. Yeah, Iran to Israelis, flee! According to Israeli media reports, Iranian Revolutionary Guard to send a message to Israelis' phones. Don't do that. And I say, no, 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 don't flee. Don't flee, because then they come to America and Europe and white countries. Then we have to deal with that. No, no, this is not how this needs to go. You need to stay there and fight for your country.
You're not patriotic. Are you not a Zionist?
You know? No.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Because then what happens if Israel does get blown up, all these Jews flee, and then now we're stuck with even more of, you know, all these Israelis that somehow just get access immediately. They just walk in through the border, you know, of any white country of their choosing.
Well, I mean, they could always go to China, where anti-Semitism is on the rise.
Well, definitely would be if they all showed up.
Cover that in the After Flash segment. Yeah, the more, isn't that funny? When they show up, then anti-Semitism shows up with them.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder what that's that. Why Israelis are leaving in record number from earlier this year, January, from 972 magazine. I'm sure that's some Kabbalistic occult number there. But anyway, over 150,000 citizens have left the country in the past 2 years alone. Many of them with a one-way ticket and no plans of returning.
No. So
I read through the article and they just talked, basically they navel gaze about the numbers and why and when, and you know, and we know why, you know, obviously some of them are then more left-wing. They don't like Netanyahu, his attack on the judiciary. They don't like the
war. They're just
trying
to save their skin.
Yeah, obviously it's getting a little harder in a way, right? So
yes.
At the same time, that has also caused other people to come, right? But so far it's actually a net drain, I believe. There's more people leaving than coming, but there's an uptick in people coming and an uptick in people leaving. But so I was like, so where are they going to? Like, what countries then? It's like United States, Germany, Canada.
Oh,
Europe
now they
general,
want the Nazi country, huh?
Greece and Cyprus, Spain, Portugal, Hungary.
Of course, always a white country.
And apparently,
always.
Thailand and Japan cited as destinations for those seeking to relocate far from the immediate conflict zones.
What right to a white country? It just drives me nuts. Right into the arms of anti-Semitism because it's just so dangerous for you.
Well, I mean, this is why, you know, taking the whole argument of the whole entirety of the corpus of the things we've been talking about the last few years, this is, of course, why our ancestors, our forebears, passed laws against Jews. And they couldn't work in some industries. In some cases, of course, they physically expelled them from their country and say, We can't deal with you. You have to leave now. Like, you're out. You've done too many criminal acts, too many subversive things, too many immoral acts, too much finagling on the back, whatever it is, whatever the reasons were. It wasn't some, like, great envy of the success or something. Like, it was just, it was this. Like, look, keep this in mind here now. As you see all these things go down, you know, live on TV, you see it, like, you have a chance to study this in real time of how an empire is brought down to its knees because of the activities of these people. Study this, learn from this, because this is what happened previously in multiple empires around the world. This is the same pattern has happened. They come in, they take over institutions, they start lobbying for their own. In the beginning, they keep quiet and they keep calm and, you know, quiet for the most part, right? Then they gain more and more influence. They start lobbying for hiring their own and letting their own in, and once they have a control of one institution, they move on to the next, right? Financial institutions. And weaved into that behavior, you have criminal acts, you have criminal behavior, everything. So they cheat and they steal and they lie and they deceit and they get ahead in that way. They gain more power and influence. Sure, one or two might be put in jail or whatever, but the overall operation continues and they move forward. They take it over, they start hollowing out and gutting the entire empire or the country that they're in, and eventually it's over. And they've overplayed their hand. And you're seeing this right now in real time in the American empire as it's being brought down to its knees because of all of these activities.
Let them in, and now look, it's Israel first, right? And that's why you can't trust all these Jews that want to flee and come to, you know, European countries. They're always going to lobby for their own people at our people's expense. Every single time. This is why they've been expelled from so many places. I was reading through Henry Ford's International Jew, and I couldn't believe how in the 20s he was giving these out at Ford dealerships of what he had written. And I was like, okay, to kind of summarize, he was talking about how Jews are fundamentally incompatible with Gentile society due to traits like exploitation. They're just more prone to exploiting people. Aversion to productive labor and farming, in fact, it sounded kind of funny to me, but he said, the one field that they won't go into is farming. They have like an aversion to manual labor and farming. Anyway, excessive racial solidarity, like we see, taking over, hijacking America first, making it Israel first, and disruptive influences on politics, economy, and culture. So Ford portrayed Jews as inherently compatible with us, with non-Jewish societies, arguing that peaceful coexistence was impossible due to innate traits, behaviors, and organized efforts that undermined host nations. He said the Jews formed a separate nation within nations, prioritizing racial solidarity and exploitation over loyalty or integration. And you know what? It will never change. This is the same thing they do. This is why laws were passed against them. This is why so many books were written about them. This is why our ancestors talked about Jews. It wasn't because it was some kind of jealousy, like you had said earlier. It's about the deeds that they do. It's the destruction that they do in our countries and to our people. And so, like, do we want to take all these people in from Israel now? Flame
Shady
is, you know, refugees?
$10. No. Do I have to pay the goy his money?
Always, of course, pay the goy some more money.
You can't trust it. These people are going to be fleeing Israel. Like, their allegiance is always going to be Israel first, just like we see even Jews that are born in America.
And even if Israel ceases to exist, the very operation of them, I don't know. It will continue in some way. That's my point. But regardless, that's not the scenario right now. But what we're watching is them overplaying their hand, right? We've got some great clips here to show in a little bit that speaks to even some Israeli historians and academics themselves who are like, coming to a close. Like, this is too much. The whole world is turning on Israel and its activities. But of course, they do control much of the leadership, obviously, in the West. And so the appearance is that somehow they're invincible. But like, once those leaders are one after one taken out or removed or voted out or cease to be politically, viable options anymore, that will eventually begin to cease. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that will just mean great things for us. Then we have a whole other set of problems to deal with.
The aftermath.
Because partially, it's because of the demographics changes as well that those things are happening, right? The brownification of Europe and America, and they see Jews as some type of white supremacists or something. You know what I mean? So then they will listen to a speech by Pete Hegseth of him talking about how it's justified to like bomb these people because God, the Israeli God said so or something, and then they say, see, that's the white man right there,
exactly.
And then they will come for us, and it will be shifted onto us, right? But of course, that doesn't mean we can therefore back up the Zionist project. That's ultimately what's undermined our civilization as well. So anyway, we got some stuff here.
Real quick, I wanted to say Switzerland just declared U.S. Right. Israeli attacks on Iran a violation of international law. They have not taken a side in a conflict, was it, since 1815, upholding this tradition of neutrality. So here's the Swiss defense minister, Martin Feister, speaking on behalf of the Federal Council. And they view the attack on Iran as a violation of international law. And he explicitly included the U.S. and Israel, stating that Americans in Israel have attacked Iran from the air. And doing so, they, like Iran, violated international law. So he called for all the parties to halt fighting to protect civilians. Well, that's not going to happen. But it is interesting that Switzerland actually said something, and they haven't for so long.
Yeah, that's a good sign, potentially. One wonders why they do. I always saw Switzerland's kind of a go-between as well.
Yeah, they hide there, and they hide money there.
The gnomes of Zurich, the World Bank is based there. The World Zionist Organization is based in Geneva, I believe, and, all the Davos bullshit, and we know the story with them. But yeah, I mean, hopefully they can kick off the shackles of this stranglehold as well, obviously, the Swiss. But yeah, the point is, you see, I mean, I think it was even was it Reuters had a piece about how I forget if it was a UN body that has said that Epstein's whole shenanigans stuff was like crimes against humanity or something, like the whole thing, the whole affair. Imagine if you could tie that then to, I mean, we know that the tie is there, but I'm saying, like, officially do the tie between, like, Epstein's operation as a Mossad operation And most of us already do that, but like the mainstream does not, right? They still obviously deny all that kind of thing, right? But a lot of people are watching. They're observing. They know. We understand this, right? All right. So we got massive stock market crash and collapse here, essentially. But it's not having the same effect yet as the recession. There's different reasons for this. People are talking about, like, well, they're just firing bloated, you know, offices, whatever. And part of it is the AI, yes, has taken over a lot of these jobs as well. But for them, for now, it'll be great. For the people that produce the robots and the AI and the Wall Street financial bankers and all that, like, for them, it will be fine. And for everyone else, it'll be a hell, essentially. And it is interesting. We talked about that earlier before we started that, before I read this post here about the current state of the Wall Street right now. But you do realize, right, that the whole machine infrastructure that they're building with automation and like competing all the humans out of the labor force will basically yield in, like, okay, what will humans do then, you know, kind of thing. Well, first of all, if they don't have any jobs and it looks like this UBI thing is largely just a temporary, how do I put this, to appease or to make sure that people feel confident that, like, oh, no, we'll just get UBI when the AI, the robots
There's
control
a backup
everything.
Plan. We'll be fine.
I forget, I'm spacing on the word. There's a good word for it for some reason. But anyway, I'm spacing on it. The point is, who's going to buy all the products? Who's going to be the customer for all these great things that these robot factories are going to produce and everything? If we don't have any money to buy any of this stuff, do you see what I'm saying? What's the purpose? What's the point? We're going to have to go back to farming to feed ourselves, essentially.
The one place where Jews won't subvert, according to Henry Ford.
Oh, they will build a...
Well, glyphosate is a Jewish subversion of farming, in my view, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but they will do a open speculation based on crop yields on the side, right? They will open a brothel close by so that, you know, when the, unfortunately, you know, toiling in the fields can be, yeah, it can fucking suck sometimes, but, you know, it's also gratifying on one level, but yeah, it could sometimes it's, look, let's be honest, right? Life is struggle. It's sometimes it sucks and you want to, you know, let's go to the, you know, to the tavern, you know, like, I get that, you know,
hey,
let's just
this.
Get drunk.
Speaking
you know,
of, I happen to hey, see
let
that.
Me, let me finish the okay, point yeah. there, though. I'm just saying that they'll set that up, right? You're like yes. next to your farm to speculate on, you know, and offer you vices, essentially, but they won't do the farming. But I'm saying we are not building shit. They are. Yeah. They are building this intensely highly effective, ruthless, technological just machine that we will be built out of. And like, we're going to have to fall back to like feudal, we have to farm, but with the potential threat now of having
robots.
Like lasers and like, you know, AI drones just like smoking us at any moment because it doesn't like us. But we won't be able to interface with the very... It will just be a system that just takes off on its own. It's incredible when you think of it. Anyway, go on.
I just saw in February last month, Lebanon accused Israel of using aircraft to spray glyphosate at concentrations 20 to 30 times higher than typical agricultural levels over farmland and villages in southern Lebanon near the border. Yeah, Lebanese authorities describe it as an environmental and health crime. Citing risk to crops, soil fertility, trees, forests, food security, potential health effects, because it's carcinogenic to humans. Yeah.
You're
Isn't
kidding.
That interesting?
Let me
just find
up.
The
Yeah, I have a
find
I'll
the
find
link.
A piece
okay.
here. Concerned. This is like a UN piece or something. Is that what you're looking at?
Well, I just happened to pull this up on Grok when I was looking up glyphosate, and then I saw that come up related.
Okay, the UN, like, you can't UN run a website that, like, loads fast? Is it? Maybe it's my connection. Maybe that's what's going on. Yeah, News UN is not loading. Okay, here we go. Lebanon says Israel sprayed southern villages with concentrated... So,
look at that.
It's almost like that when they take over the TV stations and they start running pornography.
Look
it's like
that.
The same... It's the same... These are the same picture. Here.
It just... It makes me think, you know, this recent, you know, well, we MAGA, Zio government is like, we need glyphosate. Everything would fall apart without it. It's the complete opposite of whatever they say.
And then Larry Ellison can come in with Oracle and you just give him a blood sample and then he can use AI with his Project Stargate and give you an mRNA cancer vaccine to counteract the glyphosate they just sprayed you with.
They know. They know this shit.
Yeah.
That's just amazing to me.
Yeah, not surprised. UN is not loading. Oh, it's not. Resource not found. Interesting. They took that down. The headline was Concerns Persists Over Herbicide Sprayed Reports on Blue Line. I guess that's some the border towards Israel or something like that. But yeah, that's what they do, right?
Evil.
Yeah,
like, they see us as cancer.
They do see us as bugs, and then they said it like, you know, remember the
land. It's fine in trace amounts
or something, you know.
It's totally fine in trace amounts. Don't worry about it, Goy.
Okay.
So yeah, back stock market's here. Down, and then a U.S. Yeah. official admits that they want to on.
Yeah, we don't have to read. It's basically worse than Hebicide. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Good one.
Coomerist faggots.
I mean, I don't Hebicide. Know if yes. any Jews are directly related, like owning stocks or something, but I'm sure we can find something.
It's funny. It's like while Mike Adams makes a show that it's about like
it's the Nazis
it
would
doing
never
this or something,
Nazis,
right?
Yeah.
It's like I'm sure Bayer at this point, who bought out Monsanto, right, to take over Roundup and the type of herbicides that has glyphosate in them. I'm sure that's just like 100% or if not, definitely over 50% owned by a BlackRock or a Vanguard. Or State Street, or some of them.
Yeah,
right?
And in the beginning, glyphosate, they were like, when they came up with it, they were, you know, when they were trying to create bioweapons, they're like, oh, well, we can't use, this isn't safe for food production, so they use it for food.
Glyphosate B. All right, so we got Wall Street just posted worse numbers than the 2008 financial crisis. Finance and insurance job openings collapsed 170,000 in a single month. The largest monthly decline during the entire 2008 crash was 125,000. We're nearly there in 1 month without a crisis. Anyway, this goes on just like showing like it's looking pretty bad, which is part of why they were like, let's wrap this up now, shall we? Let's do this as quickly as we can, essentially. So this is, of course, part of why they want to... take over the only thing they have left now is like, fine, let's just take all their oil and resources then or something like that. And like, how are you going to? Like, you're not going to, at this point, you're not going to, this is not even remotely
Can
viable
imagine
option.
Just talking like that? Let's just invade and steal their oil. I mean, just nonchalant.
Well, that's what they did with Venezuela pretty much, right? Wasn't it? I mean, again, I don't have to be a fan of those regimes to know how fucking wrong this is. Do you see what I'm saying? This is not being
mean you love them and support them.
No, of course not. But the point is like the more they do this, the more they ruin those nations, all these people are going to just cockroach out of there and they're going to flee into Europe and you know other white countries, essentially. That's what's going to happen, as we saw.
Drives me nuts that they always come to the country that, you know, hurt them in some way.
No, because they don't go to Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
They should, though. That's what we have to pivot. Where is the goy that shows? Where is the goy that shows up in Israel, poses as a Jew, converts to Jew, and opens the refugees' welcome organization? Right.
Well, you get a DNA test, so that would in order to live there, so it'd be hard to fool them. You know, give
okay,
a fake
well, can
sample.
We get like Ron Atkins or Gilad Atzmon to do it, or Israel Shamir then, or some Norman Finkelstein?
Just borrow some of his hair or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Just replace the Heeb is the new organization here. All right. Anyway, what are we doing? Let's play this now. Let's see what they're saying. We're gonna take all their oil. Okay, that's what's going on here.
This is a long-term game because what we want to do is get such massive oil reserves in Iran out of the hands of terrorists. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to experience here in the short term is highly outweighed of the long-term benefit, because ultimately we're not going to have to worry about these issues in the Strait of Hormuz because we're going to get all of the oil out of the hands of terrorists. This is a long-term...
Yeah, so there's a...
Get the oil out of the hands of terrorists.
They don't get their way. I almost have also feeling like that this establishment here, the regime here in Zogmerica, will probably like extort all the other countries. Obviously, beginning with like Europe and Western, like you have to get involved, or like we're all fucked, you know, kind of thing. Like they will intentionally make it worse and like strangle them out in order to get them involved into like a ground invasion of Iran or something, like something crazy like that. I don't know. But this keeps changing, and the point is like, no, we're gonna get wealthy. You see, we're gonna get rich, right? We'll make money from this. When the Iranian regime falls, the U.S. will get a new Middle East, and the states will make a lot of money, was apparently some statements out of Congress or something today. I forget who said it exactly. But there's more on that. Political. Here's Johnson right there talking about like the appropriation for the funds of the war itself. Because remember, we shown the ticker now last stream, and now it's up at we're getting close to $9 billion here now.
A couple billion more since last time I looked.
Or is it trillion? Or does it even matter?
Yeah,
how many zeros? Does the Federal Reserve, can they just add a comma in, just move a comma in one place, and then we're fine? Johnson here. Congress will pass Iran war funding when appropriate. By the way, they also just voted on, they had a vote on should we vote, whether we should vote if the war should continue or not. Like, you know how the Congress has to get involved and like, basically like, yes, okay, we're
just vote on
war.
It. Don't vote to
no,
vote
they,
on
they,
it.
They voted and they voted no so that they won't vote to,
yeah, I saw that.
to make sure that they can have a decision about the war. So it will continue. But look, I'll say this though. The most important thing here is that Iran wants to carry out another Holocaust. Okay? Six million Jews are going to die soon if we continue here. Okay?
This was 2018. Imagine what they're saying now.
It's hard to tell Putin here.
I'm sure I don't think Putin wants anything to do with any of this shit.
I think they're taking advantage of the whole situation.
And they should.
Blame them, obviously, right? Same thing there. You know, you don't have to be a fan to realize that, like, oh, wow, they have their own interests, at least. Okay, wow. Unlike Europe and you know, America, I guess. They don't even have any national interest. The national interest is Zog. It is Israel. That is the national interest.
Number one priority.
You know what I mean? But here's another one, right? Scorched earth tactic, as you mentioned before. There's threats of, like, acid rain now in parts of Iran because of the burning of these oil fields and stuff. Massive environmental damages because of fields that are burning, right? And, of course, Iran has done the same, I think, on the other side. But the point is what happens when you initiate a war? Israel still drives the line, trying to drive the line, that, like, no, this is a defensive war. That's what they're talking about now. Mm-hmm. The whole war is a defensive war. And, in fact,
we don't hurt civilians.
We don't hurt any civilians.
We don't pollute
and
the earth.
In fact, we're liberating them, and we're helping. And we just want the best for the the only reason we're doing this is because it's the best for Iranians. Not because of some Purim thing or some revenge or some greater Israel objective or because they see them as a threat or something like that, right? No, it's just we're helping. Okay, so we got a couple of more stories here. Kind of interesting. Third Temple is always, of course, up in the air, right? Third Temple construction coming out of this. And if it's true, what we played with the other rabbi from earlier there, whose name was Iser Zaltzman or something, Weisberg, talking about Trump's role in the Jew World Order. He mentioned October, was it 7th or 9th?
Second.
Second in 2027. And I think even just from a timing point of view, like if they're going to make a move, you're going to have to make that move like now, basically, right? So Iran is warning of a possible Al-Aqsa mosque false flag attack, which of course is the Golden Dome. It's, you know, the whole Abrahamic story is right there. This rock where this guy who probably never existed... You know, had all his, I don't know, his foreskin taken or something, who knows. Iran is warning of a possible Israeli false flag attack at the holy site in order to blame Iran, an intelligence source tells Tasnim. So that's, of course, Iranian. This might be Iranian propaganda then, too. But look, I wouldn't have, isn't this what they've dreamt of for all this time?
Yes.
This is what they wanted to do? I don't think this is highly unlikely scenario. One missile goes wrong, and Israel would just have to be. All they would have to say is, "Oh, there's chaos. We have to take over the whole Mount Zion now. Basically, we have to take over the whole area. We have to corner it off and control it, and then you can commence the building of the third temple. They got the heifers lined up. They have all the tools. They have their golden menorahs and their diamond, whatever the hell it is that they built. You know, to start their their sacrifices, right? All right.
I was just saying the only thing I'd be concerned about there is all the kittens that Mike killed.
Yeah, there's a lot of kittens there.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've actually been there and walked around, and that was my favorite thing was the cats.
Or have the Muslim kicked out the cats now? Is that what they've done?
Oh, no. I don't know. There was kittens running around everywhere, so I don't think they could stop it, you know.
Mm. But,
They don't take good care of them.
Yep. The
Muslims
plan,
or Jews.
Nope. The plan could involve a false flag operation using drones or missiles aimed at the mosque's compound. And, of course, if that happens, you know, all hell will break loose. I don't know. I don't think it... I'm not sure if it will... Can it break more out than it has now? I think we're almost there, anyway. Okay, so going back to the Purim stuff here a little bit, a couple of interesting clips here, too. Here's another rabbi being honest and talking about what the real purpose or the... You know, what Purim actually is, right? Listen to this here.
Most Jews do not fully understand the central message of Purim. And that message is, very briefly and simply, that we, the Jewish people, are commanded to destroy the enemies of our people in all times, in all places, as happened, as described in detail in the Book of Esther, where we find that 75,811 of our enemies were destroyed, including women and children. Some people are apparently capable of reading this Megillah twice on the day of Purim, year in, year out, without actually seeing what it says, or without asking themselves the question, why did this take place? Why were so many people killed? Why were women and children killed? But the answer is very simple. Straightforward. Perhaps it is not politically correct in the eyes of some, but it is the true, authentic, and absolutely essential message of Purim, and it is the central truth of the Torah. The message of Purim is not about commemorating a past event. It is rather commemorating and remembering a past event in order that we know how to behave today in the present and in the future. Here, Rambam mentions in
Rambam,
two separate Nisvot Aseh, two positive commandments of the Torah. One is to destroy the seven nations mentioned a number of times in the Torah, who resided in Eretz Yisrael at the time when the Jewish people entered the land, to destroy those nations who claim this land for themselves. The second mitzvah, immediately after that, is a mitzvah aseh to destroy Amalek and his descendants. The concept of Amalek still exists. We read every year, before Purim, we read Parashat Zachor, where we are commanded by Hashem to remember that which Amalek did to us and to destroy them.
And to destroy them. Yeah. So that's just...
That's it. We have to support him. You know, they said, the book said.
He's right because he's honest. So you have had a few of these other ones here. Here's an example of, here's one of these, it's like it's a human rights Jew that shows up in I don't know if it's some ministry adjacent to the Knesset or something. She shows up here like, yeah, it goes against Judaism to kill people. It was some discussion whether should we... how many Palestinians should we execute and in what way? Or so, it was something like that. There was the discussion in the Israeli parliament or something. And of course, an Israeli minister, Ben Gvir, kind of chimes in here and correctly, mind you, he's not wrong, puts this human rights Jew in place and saying, I don't think you've read the books that we wrote because we talk about killing everyone in there. Listen to this. It's not moral to execute people, she said.
למה אנחנו חוגגים את פורים? מה קרה בפורים? כי יוצאנו להורג. כל כך הרבה שונאי ישראל. על מה את מדברת? אני לא יכול להיות מנותקים מהחומר שאתם מדברים עליו. תלמדו קצת. אחרי זה תבואו.
מהקשת אמונה, אני סבורה שזה אסור לנו בשום אופן לעשות דבר כזה.
אני אלמד אתכם קצת תורה. כי אתם כנראה פספסתם את חנוכה. פספסתם את פורים, פספסתם את דוד המלך, פספסתם את המכבים, פספסתם את כל המלחמות נגד האויבים שלנו.
Which means every one of their holidays is centered around genociding another group of people. He's
correct.
Right. He's right there.
Yeah, he tells that shit lib, you don't know your Torah.
The liberal Zionist stuff is a fascinating... I mean, it's like... we know that they're posing, right? They're just trying to act like they're some great humanitarians while they're also Zionist at the same time. But like most of them know, I think, to be honest, it's just a big sham, right? And it was a book I think someone recommended regarding, I think it was regarding that too. Someone who said, some Jew here, not going to lie, bombing Iran on Purim during Ramadan would be pretty epic. And I guess that's early in the morning, I guess, when the attack then did happen.
It happened
or something.
On the 28th, didn't it?
Yeah. So this is from the 27th then. Mm-hmm. Warmly recommended this book from a Jewish academic. The Jews love to do so much stuff during Purim. And no, it's not just limited to Baruch Goldstein. Yeah. Far from that. Reckless Rites. Purim and the Legacy of Jewish Violence by Elliot Horowitz. Now, not every conflict, of course, have started on Purim, but the Iraq War, 2003 invasion, that started on Purim, right?
Yeah.
It was in March.
So the idea is anything goes. I know last show we played, you know, little Jewish kids getting drunk and smoking cigarettes and all that because it's Purim. They could do whatever for that one day. Right? Anything goes. There's no laws.
You're supposed to get so drunk that you can't tell the difference between Mordecai and Haman, right? That's as their made-up story goes. Because Haman
breaks
his thing.
These people are just... You know.
Baruch Goldstein, exactly. Was he one of the terrorists or something? He murdered 29 Palestinian people in Hebron. That's right. Okay. So this is commonplace. That's the point here, right? And here's a couple of more clips just to kind of reemphasize this point here. There's an Israeli historian. I think he also has British citizenship. And he's probably like a left-wing, you know, Jew. So maybe he's one of these who tried to kind of control the narrative a little bit on in terms of where the anti-Zionist movement goes or something. I don't know. Maybe his objectives are actually sincere. I don't know. Ilan Papan, or Pape, on how Israeli... Listen to this as a history, right? Think of why they want to have not just liberal democracies. Brett Stevens from New York Times, the columnist there, recently argued this as well, that like regardless of the Trump thing and this kind of hardcore right-wing Zionist thing, like Jews are doing much better under liberal democracies, right? Mm. And of course, he's right, because the point is when you have an open and tolerant society, that's how they can exploit you,
right?
Because that's then it's deception, it's spy, you know, kind of attitudes that they can have. They thrive in an environment of basically where they can
create
execute
that
their
nation.
Duplicitous behavior. Yes.
Yeah, they can create that nation within a nation, where a nationalist country wouldn't allow that.
Well, again, nope, what's their greatest fear? It's national socialism, because they had explicit laws. Like you need to be a second class citizen if you're going to, while you're in this country.
Yeah.
Soon you're not going to be, but while you're in this country, you're a second class citizen.
Yeah.
You don't have the same rights. You can't operate in the same way. And there was a reason why our forebears did these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is not strange. It's not hateful for the sake of, it was literally
smart.
Survival.
It was smart.
Listen to this clip here. This is regarding Palestine and how they took over there.
The first stage was the collection of material about every village in Palestine. This was called the Village Files Project. They were quite amazing because they had information of every village in Palestine, mainly about the details of how good actually it would be to take it over. So there's a lot of information about the quality of the land, how rich the people were, to the extent that they even knew how many fruit are on each tree. There is on each tree. What were the political affiliation of people? How easy or how difficult it would be to occupy it?
They started gathering in the 30s?
In the late 30s. Yeah. In the late 30s and early 1940s, yes. They were actually using, exploiting Arab hospitality, because if you come to a village in Palestine, doesn't matter who you are, you're invited. And they used that hospitality in order to spy around. And especially what they needed were two things. One is to know how to access the village later on in order to occupy it, and to know what the village had in terms of assets and so on, that when they occupied, that people would not, you know, run away with what the Zionists wanted for themselves.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Interesting.
You're surprised?
No.
With those attitudes, right? It's an open society. They let them in. They're like, sure, you're in trouble. We'll help you out, kind of thing, right? And then just like, It's just a big intel operation. Remember, that's why they had the 12 spies in the offices. Mike Huckabee put the painting back up again.
Right.
Caleb and Yachov or whoever the fuck it was. They were the great spies, and they checked out the Amalekites, was it? Not Amalek. It was another Amorite tribe. I also get
you always get stuck on
Amalek
this one.
Or something.
They're all so similar sounding.
It's these giants there, right? We were like grasshoppers. People talk about that this is a... I think it was just bigger, stronger, probably like some Aryans or something. You know what I mean? Like there was some group there or something. And then you can argue, so did that happen, what they really said happened, right? How long were they occupying that territory after they were enslaved in Egypt? You know, this might all be bullshit, right?
Yes.
It might be attributed to another group, but they claim it as their own. Mm-hmm. All that's possible. Ultimately, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's not for me to sort out. I don't care about this mythology. It's interesting, but ultimately it's like... It's probably mostly made up. Judging from the track record, it's probably made up, right? That's all I'm saying. I don't think they were like fruit, like grapes that were as big as their heads or whatever. That's what they went to spy on these giants in the land of Canaan, right? And they walked down there and 12 of them were sent to go, but only two of them, I think, did go, or only two of them came back. I forget how the lie that they made up went. But they come back with these grapes to show proof then that, like, everything is big there. Look at the crops are big, the fruit is big, the people are big, you know. But we're gonna kill them all. We're going to genocide all of them and take their land, because that's what Hashem said. That's what Yahweh told us, right? So we're going to genocide them all. And, of course, that's... You know, the painting there then that Huckabee hung in the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem was like commemorating that.
Essentially. This is madness. Utter madness.
Yeah, but that's, it's murder and genocide. And that's the foundational mythos of this thing. Exterminate that tribe, take over this group, crush them, smite them, crush, you know, all murder all their kids and
this
all their...
This is why we can't live together.
Enemies, you know. They're all our enemies.
Exhibit 1033. Arctic Wolf. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Hi, guys. Hope you've all been having a great weekend.
Yep.
Great show on Friday. You guys always do the best job exposing the Jewish control over our foreign policies. You're right about Trump, though. He looks awful. Here's a clip of him from yesterday from InfoWars. Go to about 1 minute 40 seconds in the video. Okay. Take care. Love you guys.
Thank you, Albert,
back
so much.
Back at you.
You're
and
incredible.
Joni,
thank
oh my
you.
Gosh, love you, Joni.
Well,
big
mention
hug.
That again, because, in case we caught that so late, I felt awful about that.
She sent a huge dono at the end of the last show.
Flashback
we missed
Friday.
It.
Yeah,
so I just want to send Joni a big hug.
Just a shout out. Yes. Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, if you always feel bad when you miss a super chat, but then when you miss one like that, you feel like rotten. Okay, 1 minute here. We'll play this for Albert.
1 minute
here.
40 seconds in.
140?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
To eradicate the criminal
cartels.
Yeah,
he's not looking good.
In our region.
He's not
and
looking good.
You have
good.
A lot of it. One of the things when we
a
were
lot
talking
of makeup
backstage,
on
you were telling me that.
A lot of Cheeto dust.
The cartels, and we're knocking the hell out of them where we can. We're going to go heavier.
Yeah, he sounds kind of
so
sick, but
we
I think that there's
the
other things going on
in.
There.
I mean, look, I get it. It's like a lot of pressure during this time. I mean, I'm not trying to defend him or anything, considering what is going on.
But
right
it's
now,
a
but...
noticeable change
well, yeah.
since the war,
this
right?
Is always...
But it's just like it sucked. It's sucking the soul and life out of him because
yeah,
it's wrong.
There is such a thing, I think, as like collective, just like. You know, like,
oh yeah, he's getting the brunt of all kinds of astral energies. He's dealing with some heavy energetics for sure.
Wasn't that kind of a case with every president, the before and after, like how much they've aged, right? I mean, it's a stressful job, I get that, but at a time like this, and he's what is he now? What? How old is he? 81?
Yeah,
82, something like that. Anyway, so yeah,
yep.
So I get it, but yeah, thank you, Albert.
I don't know.
So
is he gonna last?
That, yeah.
We'll see.
No, I mean, it might
79.
Be...
79. He's 79.
Okay, 79. Okay, so yeah. But the point is, he'll be like 80.
I know some astrologers
when
were
done here
predicting a possible sudden health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And also, astrology-wise, for people interested, it's looking... it's in Iran's favor.
Well, it better be.
It's in Iran's favor
again,
right
I'm
now.
I'm not, you know...
That Israel's on the path of self-destruction.
Yeah.
And the astrology matches that,
In a normal circumstance, I wouldn't be like... You know, super happy about like the the Muslims there or whatever. But in this case, I was like, I wish them well. Yeah. You know, like they're one of the few countries now. Like they don't Persians. Have a central bank. They're not controlled by Zog in the same way that all these other countries are. Yeah. And again, I mean, they're just going for the jugular. Before we get to that, I have a couple of more clips, though. Or just one more. That's quite powerful there from Ilhan Pappe.
Oh, I missed
Ilhan
one,
Pappe.
Too, though. I missed Charles Turner Jr. I think it may be safe to say outside of the boomers, a lot of people know this whole Iran fiasco is for Israel's benefit. I've mentioned the fact to several family friends, coworkers, without bringing up political parties.
They know. I think you're right.
Well,
they know.
Trump used to be against invading Iran. And look, I mean, that's what he was running on.
Except that was the one caveat, though. That's a thing he was okay with, I think, to be honest. But
He was running on being the peace guy, non-intervention. He made the comments.
Iran. Except Iran.
Well, I don't remember that. But Dare Cherusker says, powerful episode. The future is now.
Future is now. We better grasp it. Now. It is a fascinating time. It's crunch time. We've talked about that so many times, right? Demographically, window is like it's now or never kind of thing, right? But even here in this case, like Zionism is like it's all up for grabs. As it holds more power than ever, it's also weaker and more exposed than ever, right? It's a fascinating.
Just like America.
Well, because they've joined they're the same now, right? Yeah. You know, it's the same. What's the difference, right? So here's another one from Ilhan Pappe here, and it goes into the this issue here of this is the last phase of Zionism, right? And I think we are entering into that right now, essentially. Listen to what he says here. Interesting clip.
I'm willing to say with some caution that this is the last phase of Zionism. Historically, such development in ideological movements, whether they are colonials or empires, doesn't matter in the past. It's usually the final...
And of course, I would differentiate there of comparing this to any type of colonialist endeavor, but still, okay, this is a special case. Actually, it is. But anyway, let's hear my...
final chapter. The ruthless one, the most ambitious one, and then it's too much, and then they fall and collapse. When we say Neo-Zionists, we mean, I think, that the old values of Zionism are now being more extreme in a far more aggressive form than they were before, trying to achieve in a short time what the previous generation of Zionists were trying to achieve in a much longer, more incremental, gradual way. So this is an attempt by a new leadership of Zionism to complete the work, if you want, that they started in 1948, namely of taking over officially the whole of historical Palestine and getting rid of as many Palestinians as possible. Scenario in which you have minimal American involvement is a positive scenario. The whole political structure that was built after the First World War is collapsing in front of our eyes, and it includes Israel and Palestine. So these are long regional processes which I think will benefit the Palestinians in the long run and would hopefully create a decolonized country in the end.
All right. So anyway, going out from that clip there, the reason for Trump bringing down the economy is because that's the design, right? It's to squeeze the last out of America as they can. Mm-hmm. They know that the time is up for the Israel support among younger generations in the U.S. I think.
Yeah.
And so this is the reason why, like, all right, fuck it then. Like, let's
now
not
or
even
never.
Let's not even pretend anymore. Let's just go all in and just squeeze that cow.
Yeah.
Squeeze the blood out of it. I mean, even listen to this here, Evan. Lindsey Graham, Ladybugs, who goes over to Israel to be schooled by Netanyahu on, like, taking talking points on how he should talk to President Trump, went on Fox News, I think this is like this morning or something, to say this, like, just more countries now. He's like Venezuela, and then it's Ecuador, and then it's Iran, and then it's Syria, and
we're
then it's
roll.
Turkey.
Let's
and
go.
Then it's, let's do Cuba, too, now. Let's do it.
I'm not looking for a fair fight. If we get in a fight, I want to win it. I want to win it quick. I'm in Miami.
Tough guy.
Never been in a fight in your life, yeah, you fucking faggot.
Exactly.
Free Cuba. Stay tuned. Yeah. The liberation of Cuba is upon us. It's just a matter of time now. You see this?
This is like a joke now.
Great. President Trump said the only way to make Iran great is for the people to take over. We're marching through the world. We're cleaning out the bad guys. Yeah. We're going to have relationships with new people that will make us prosperous. And
right.
I've never seen anything.
Everyone's going to hate us.
Everyone's going to love America after all of the, after it's said and done. What happened to, like, just, I don't know, just buying products, I guess, then or something like trade. Oh, you got some rare earth over there. All right, fine. Let's ship some cars to you, and we'll take care. You know, and I'm not one of these like everything kumbaya. I always can get it.
No,
like,
but this shit is conflict, crazy.
But this is total
We're
madness.
We're just going to invade, you know, all just, these places to liberate.
Why?
Yeah, it
and
is
for,
madness.
And on behalf of whom and why? You know why?
Because America's the best. You know, we got to lead and show people the way.
It's amazing, right? But back to the point here, the biggest threat to Israel is not the occupation, the war intifada. Netanyahu is omnisciously and obsessively warning that Israel may not survive to see its 100th anniversary. And of course, some people have put that further down. 70 years, people talk about 75 to 80 years, that range, which is like right now for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Other Israeli politicians. Israel has entered its greatest crisis after three generations. This happened to the USSR, Turkey, India, and China. What happened to them? Can Israel survive? I think this is Herzog. That's right, Isaac Herzog as well. He was worried whether the state would even reach 80 years, right? So they know they're feeling this in the wings as well.
We all
and
are.
As they're feeling that, their only response is to act out even more. It's to be more hostile. It's to start more wars. It's to start to fire more people for anti-Semitism, to debank more people, to deplatform more people, to put more people in jail. To do, and as they do that, they solidify the hatred against them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's also what makes it justified.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
All right, I'm done.
How many people?
That was it. I got nothing else. That's it.
But then when Israel is destroyed...
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of them that are not destroyed. Then it's a new phase of what do we do? What do we do?
Talk about that after. We'll take that conversation. Oh, yeah. Anyway, in case you didn't know, we all know the Irish owns the media.
Okay? Do Jews run the media? That's a preposterous thing to say, okay? Most people say, and the facts say, and that they don't, but... But Bob on Facebook here has a documentary, and so I, as an independent thinker, came to the same conclusion, anti-vax, anti-Semite, anti-anything. So now let me just say real quick on who owns the media and controls the media. I worked at MSNBC, one of the largest cable news stations. I had their 6 o'clock hour, that's a very important prime time hour. You know who my bosses were? Irish dudes. And above them were Irish dudes.
Yeah, I remember
this. No, the Jews run everything. No, they don't. They don't. It's just not true. Can you find one or two Jewish people who have
found success? It's a big Irish conspiracy, Henrik.
Yeah, of course you can. But you could find just as many Irish guys who have found success. And guys, I've been at the very top of the different media circles. And I'm here to tell you, the room is filled with Christian white males.
I think there was a discussion over Comcast at the time or something. All right. Anyway. But yeah, like and listen to the tone.
The powerful guy, dude, isn't the one that shows up to an office every day. Like, clocks in and clocks out, okay?
And then look at Anna Kasparian now with her takes.
I know.
About... Forever, TYT, they were denying this, they were not touching, and now it's cool and safe. I won't say it's 100% safe. Look, they're talking about like killing Tucker Carlson or something now. They're not going to because he's actually, I think Tucker Carlson is actually a plant and a mouthpiece for them. I think the whole
thing. He's preventing white nationalism.
Yes, exactly. I thought it was. I thought get him out of Fox, kind of make. Oh, he's a. They don't like. Look, they fired him. You know. You know. They boost his credibility and all that stuff, and then they will not give you that. But anyway, so my point is back to the point of. It is. I'm not saying it's 100% safe, but it's like 90% safe now. You know, it's like talk about these types of topics, obviously, right? By all the great people who went before us. To trailblaze these topics, mm-hmm. even, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And daring to speak out and being, you know, deplatformed. And again, it doesn't mean it's totally safe, as I said. That Jim Bro guy from Canada, he was deep, whatever his name was, Mark.
Oh, it's still happening. Something.
He
it's
was deplatformed. Tyler Oliveira lost because his Patreon, his
Jews
website and stuff.
Controlling, you know, a lot of those platforms.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's totally safe, but I mean, is TYT losing their YouTube channel because of the way that they're talking off platform, mind you? That was one of the things that YouTube did. Was like, if your behavior offline, meaning you don't even address it on the YouTube videos, but you said this stuff on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, yeah, or wherever in IRL and it was filmed, we can deplatform you. Are they getting deplatformed? No.
No.
Because they're the kosher anti-Semitic option.
Nothing's happened to her.
No, they're still there. All right. Anyway, I think that's it. All right, guys, should we wrap up right there?
Yeah, was there some SNL thing at the end?
I guess we could play. Sure, yeah. We could play that if you're... I thought you were like ready to wrap up there.
No, I'm just listening.
We have Michael Rapaport joining in Chabad here. Did you see this too? By the way, Chabad fanatics are coming out of the woodworks. It's good though, because it does kind of overplay their hand a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big surprise, but yeah, he put the black cube on his head. So yeah, this one here we could play... I guess this is like you have no idea how freaking perfect the 90s was, but I have a completely different take on this. As I listened to this and realized that here you have two Saturday Night Live guys talking in these terms about these topics on, I don't know exactly what show this is, but these are at the time very mainstream people. Let me put it that way. And the depressing aspect of watching this, beyond the fact that it's kind of funny and true, is that you realize this has been discussed by mainstream mm-hmm. people since the 90s.
Yes.
And nothing happened.
Yes.
It just got worse and worse and worse. So let's listen to you.
Boomers that were warning about these things along the way, but no one did anything about it.
I mean, you'd have to go back to like the 1890s, like to actually get some cool times. You know, it was far gone and over.
I think
over
too.
In the
it's
90s,
like it was whiter. It was more comfortable.
It wasn't
easier.
There wasn't as obvious yet.
There, no, and you know, there wasn't social media and things right. like that where people could. That's why.
Yeah. Anyway, let's watch this here. I think you'll see what I mean.
A parody of what happens if immigration goes unchecked. What are your views on it personally?
On the film, Second Civil War? On immigration? Well, I am an immigrant. I came to this country in 1957 from a terrible hostile regime in Canada. But what's fascinating about this subject, and it's one of the things that's touched upon in the movie The Second Civil War, is that you cannot even discuss this subject without being considered a racist in this country. And the immigration policy in the United States is the most liberal in the world. 800,000 people a year enter the United States legally, 900,000, and maybe another 200,000 or 300,000 illegally.
Problem.
And no other country tolerates that kind of illegal immigration or that kind of mass influx through their borders. But it's only going to heat up because we're not discussing it. Do you know that in the next 5 years, over $1 billion a year in entitlements is going to be given through Nothing. Social Security to foreigners
yep.
who have immigrated to this country and not put so much as a dime into the system?
Hi from 2026. It's a lot higher and worse than that.
It's a lot worse now. And it was discussed. It was in fact, it was vented on 1990s yeah. TV. So
they
people would feel
it
that
coming.
It's like, that's right. Someone did. Yeah. God damn it. I bet you when that's a billion, it will be a whole lot more people will revolt.
Hard
right?
Seller Act took people right. a little late to realize what that really fucking was.
A little late.
You know, deception. There were people warning, and there were people that knew, mainstream people.
Well, ironically,
and they
even
still pushed that shit through.
Ironically,
you know?
even the solution I mean, you don't have to be as dramatic. You'll see what I mean when they get to it, obviously. But the solution to the problem, they laugh at in this. Listen here.
Yeah, ouch.
And it caused a fucking riot.
Well.
It didn't.
That's why I'm here.
It didn't.
Put down the rights. His show, I forget what it's called.
Yeah, Miller, right?
Yeah, Miller. I met this guy once.
Is he a Jew? I think he might be a Jew.
Oh,
Phil
really?
Hartman on the left there, though. Who are you talking about again?
No, the guy on the right. Dennis Miller.
Yeah. I think he might be a Jew.
Is he?
Yeah, Phil Hartman there, though. He's not Canadian, right? It was actually quite funny.
To talk about the new American Nazi
He's not
party.
Jewish.
There. Do you hear that? Catch that.
Yeah.
So they talk
yeah.
about the immigration thing, right? The fraud. And so, of course, then they have to go to the extreme, which ironically would be the fit. Like, yeah, if you had an American Nazi party that was like set up and established by like George Lincoln Rockwell at the time or something and ran, you would not have any of these issues right now. None of it would actually happen. And they're laughing at it. But it's a, you know, it's not a joke. It's an actual fix to it.
And it caused a fucking riot, Phil.
Well, that's why I'm here today to talk about the new American Nazi party.
So you can't go there, see?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing.
Yeah.
The one thing that can solve these issues, you can't. That's a no. You can't. You don't even talk about it.
Zog.
It's just a
Zog
joke.
Zog is already embedded. That's why.
Amazing.
We're not just
not even saying Nazi party. Just saying even just a white party or a white nationalist party. But
well,
they equate.
Close anymore.
Ask, are there countries, I mean, can I walk into like Saddam Husseinville and just start setting up a discotheque or what? I mean,
not a chance.
That's the guy
no
who warned
country.
Europe.
In Japan, they have a saying, which
it was actually Gaddafi in Libya. But,
yeah, close
enough. I'm sure Saddam has things to say.
Means. No, that means you don't set foot in my country, white devil, unless you buy a 50-inch television set. No, we're nutcases over here. We really are. You want to get pissed off?
They're honest about it, though. They know how bad it was even then.
Yes.
Right?
This for a law.
Yes. And they didn't do shit.
Nope.
A pregnant woman who sneaks into the United States and has a baby in this country, that child is automatically a U.S. citizen. How do you feel about that? Has all the entitlements that you have.
If you had the U.S. Nazi party, that wouldn't be happening now, would it?
A lifelong taxpayer. You know, that's no other country in the world has a policy like that.
Right.
Then there's what they call chain immigration, where when a family comes here from a foreign country, then they start bringing in grandma and grandpa and brother and sister, and they all go
I know
on
how
Social
that works.
Security. You know what it is, Dennis? The United States, as much as anything, the government of this country is a corporation that oversees a multiplicity of other corporations. And immigration, illegal and otherwise, is good for business. That's why it isn't stopped, in my opinion.
Well, none of us have made money from that. None of the good people have made money from that.
Gasoline, food, clothing, watches HBO. They are consumers. They pay sales tax, even if they don't necessarily pay income tax.
Right.
And they feed the system.
So it all becomes a bottom line thing.
I think so. It all becomes part of the big,
and who likes that?
Big machine.
The big machine.
Which
yeah.
dictates right now that I have to do the news of the week. Can you stick around while I do it?
Watch
That's
me.
Right. This
Felipe.
Was on HBO.
Was this HBO?
I remember. Yeah.
But my point is, this is... okay, so it's not on like the most watched television channels
yeah, but
then,
it was
but it's mainstream.
It was mainstream and it was popular for a time. I had a friend who actually worked on his show and I was actually in the audience for one of the tapings of the show and met the guy.
This one here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, someone said here, didn't he, Miller, he worked under...
He's not a Jew.
Oops, sorry.
He calls himself a WASPy. Yeah. I'm a WASPy kind
yeah,
of
no,
guy.
No, I know, but he worked under... he had a show even on Fox News for a while, didn't he?
I think he's had a couple of shows.
Said it in chat there, but he worked under like one of those guys there. Anyway, yeah. Bill O'Reilly.
People didn't do anything then.
He's Bill O'Reilly's old sidekick
now.
Dennis Miller is Bill O'Reilly's old sidekick. Deville says there.
Okay.
So I think that's true, actually. But anyway.
Yeah, CNBC, okay. He had a show later on. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the old Masonic handshake there, write it down. Look at that. All right. Anyway, let's not go there. But it's probably true. Okay. Anyway, so we'll take a break for a couple of days here. We'll be back Thursday with much more. We'll either do an interview or stream Thursday, then Flashback Friday. We'll be back with some other stuff. But we're taking 3 days off. So we'll be back soon. Thank you guys for all the support. We appreciate it greatly. Thank you to everyone who's a member. We appreciate you guys very, very much. If you want to sign up for a membership, redicemembers.com, redicetv.locals.com, or subscribestar.com/redice. We have to manually activate your account on redicemembers.com because of financial censorship and shit like that, being held back, not having access to all the other stuff that all these other grifters do. So we appreciate your patience on that, but you can sign up and you can use DonorBox. There's one coming in late here.
Imperial_Security_Bureau sent $5. October 3rd started a trickle of anti-Semitism, but this war will open the floodgates once people learn who set off the next Great Depression. They'll be begging for Madagascar.
Yeah, Madagascar plan, maybe. Yeah, you mean October 7th? I get what you're saying. Yeah, exactly.
Something's got to give here. Something's got to change. Well, people better act this time.
It's going to. And you're right. Looking at that, maybe I shot myself in the foot there by looking.
No, that's what I'm saying. We have to be acting now. We can't be that guy. We can't be looking back at ourselves, you know, from the 30 years and be like, why do we do it?
Well,
I know all of us here.
But they were also. That is the Tucker Carlson of the time. That is the that is the Candace Owens.
Yeah, and we're the ones on the side saying, hello, white nationalism over here. This is your answer. Yeah. Wake the fuck up. Mm-hmm. White nationalism. That is the way here. That is the solution.
Yeah, but we need racial consciousness.
Yes.
And we need a white racial ethnic consciousness for everyone who's ethnically European. It's really, really that simple.
White nationalism doesn't mean going and waging war in other countries. I see some like nods. We're like, oh, that means you just want to take over.
Who cares? It's whatever. Yeah, eventually we will. But that's it. And we'll actually do good things.
It would benefit your ass, too, in fact, if white countries be like were white nationalists.
We'll be an anti-Jew. Look what we did when we did. I mean, okay, but Britain primarily. But like Britain ruled like, what, 90% of the world? Look at how the populations ballooned and exploded. We're talking about shooting yourself in the foot, but I'm saying genuinely there was like a...
Don't do that again.
We'll bring them to civilization.
Let's not do
we'll
that
bring
again.
Them have these no, food
let's,
techniques.
Let's say, hey, we're here to take our civilization and our colonialism back. Thank you. Bye. I'll never see you again.
We believe in ethnic diversity, so we'll leave them to their own devices. Yes. And
I'll take our infrastructures, our electricity. You know, we'll take it all back now. Thank you.
Take it all back. All right. Anyway. Back to my plug here then, huh? Get it a plug, ladies and gentlemen. RedIceMembers.com. God damn it, $10 a month. It's not that much, especially not with the deflation.
All the prices are going up.
Inflation. What is it? It's devaluation because of inflation. That's what it is, right? So 10 US dollars for you per month. But of course, you can get that down as well. 35, almost 40% off if you get a 2-year membership over at RedIceMembers.com. Then, of course, we do have our executive producer tier and producer tier if you're into that kind of thing. If you want a shout out at the end of the show, which all our great peeps who are executive producers will get right now. First out the gates, Albert Arctic Wolf. Thank you, Albert.
Thank you.
You're incredible. We love you, man. Thank you so much. We got William Fox, America First Books as well. Thank you to you. We got Angry White Soccer Mom. Thank you for your support as well. We appreciate you. We have Purple Haze also, one of our executive producers. Together with Glenn. Thank you for your support, Glenn. We appreciate you. We got President Obunga as well. Thank you for your support, President. We got Good Luck Lap. We appreciate you as well. Also, among our executive producers, we have Number One Jeebs. Thank you. We also have Hungarian Mom. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. We have Sun Destroyer 520. Thank you for your support, sir. Appreciate you. We have The Deplorable Extraordinaire. Thank you very, very much. Nice to have you guys aboard. We got Santoso as well as an executive producer. Thank you to you. We got the Boo Man. Thank you for your support. And also Charles Turner Jr. Thank you, Charles. We appreciate you very, very much. We have our producers. There we go. Red Bull Rundown. We got you once on Leroy Dumont, Eyes Open, Single Action Army. We have Lord H.P. Lovecraft. We have Trevor, Der Schwabe, Alcyon, Aurelian, Perfect Brute, Greg M., J. Barr, Chris W., Skarzinski, Muskrat, Centurion, Scott James Henderson, Deer in the Headlights, Joseph W., Citizen Intel, and Ernst Jaeger. Thank you, guys. If you want to shout out at the end of the show, get your name in the credits, a special thanks from us here at Red Ice. Help us grow and expand. Get a membership over at redicemembers.com or subscribestar.com/redice. That's the producer tier or an executive producer tier. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Then, of course, you can always pick up a shirt if you're willing and able, and if you want something nice with good quality. Check our latest three editions that we got here. We got a hoodie, the Runic Seal hoodie over on lanaslama.com. We have a Flashback Friday shirt, and
with
of course
the patches on the side. Yes,
with the arm patches on the side that look great, feel great too. Very good quality, no microplastics, 100% organic cotton hemp blend. Very nice stuff. You won't find shirts like that anywhere else. Yeah, best quality, Lana, over there. Thank at Lana's Llama. Folk First, the large Folk First have sold out already.
Yeah,
so if you had other sizes.
And keep it coming. If you guys buy it out, we can keep it coming.
Yeah, so get your hands on one of those now, other sizes, I mean, because they do go fast. So it might be your last chance this run to get it. And then, of course, then you can get 50% off. I'm slurring and getting ahead of myself here. Let me articulate. You can get 50% off.
Slow down,
It's at the end of the show, and then I always have to, ram it in. Because people are not here to listen to me shill our merch. Yeah. So that I have to stress and hurry. Fuck that shit. Buy our merch. God damn it. I can just stand up and take my space on this issue.
I know.
So horrible at shilling. Hey, look, that's the name of the game. If you like what we do, guys, just support us. And this is a great way, by the way. So 50% off if you use Flashback Friday 50. Correct.
That's
I
right.
Make sure I got that right. Flashback Friday 50, 50.
Yes.
One word on lanaslama.com. And all the older last year's run of merch is 50% off. So not the price you see there on the website, but 50% off if you use that. So do that. Yeah, see? Lone Star Texas says, shirts are so comfy. Yes, they are. Thank and of you. Course, check out that hoodie too. I think the hoodie is phenomenal. Really awesome. Comfy. Really good stuff. All right, is that it then?
Hi, guys. Okay. We'll see you in a few days.
Yeah, have Enjoy. A great one. We'll be back in a couple of days. Thursday, we'll be back with more. So stay tuned for more Red Ice then. Folk First.
See ya.
See you soon, guys. Thanks.